All right, let's take our Bibles and now turn to the book of Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19. Today we're going to deal with a passage of Scripture, as all Scripture, that requires the Holy Spirit's revelation, understanding to needy sinners. This passage of Scripture deals with an act, an incestuous act, committed between Lot's two daughters and Lot. I read this passage of Scripture so often, but I want to read it again. It's 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. And this is what the Spirit of God has set forth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, that is, completely fitted and equipped unto all good works. Now, this passage of Scripture is a marvelous revelation, not only of the indescribable depth of man's depravity, but also the indescribable declaration of the grace of God. God's grace to call a people, undeserving people, out of the darkness, bondage of their sin and unbelief. Now again, I'm going to pray right now. I ask the Lord help me. Help us all. Give us understanding. Now, I want us to pick up in verse 30. I ended in verse 30 last Wednesday night. It says, "And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters." Now, last time, I looked at that passage of Scripture, and in absolute agreement with revelation of God's Word, I was dealing with that passage of Scripture and dealing with that cave as a place where the Lord, he's in the mountain. He's in a cave in the mountain. And as I told you, that word cave, it gives great instruction. You've got to look at that word. You've got to understand, what is that word? What does it mean? What's it setting forth? Here's what it means. A cave, it means a dark place. A dark place. No light. A hole. To be bare, to be naked, that is, to be without. Stripped. A place where I set forth that God's going to teach. He's going to teach Lot something. A place of correction. I'm going to go a little bit deeper today. As one of the old writers just said, we're going to jump a fence a little bit. But I want to set forth today that cave as being a place where man is born in sin, in a hole. No light. Somebody said, "Well, I thought you looked at that type last week as a place of correction, and you're going to look at it today as a place of man's depth of depravity. So, yeah. I want you to remember something about a type. Brother Henry said this one time. Don't ever try to take a type, give it four legs, and let it walk. It is a type. This type can be used to set forth, illustrate, reveal Scripture in the New Testament. You go to the New Testament and you look what the New Testament reveals. And you look in the Old Testament, you can see a type that'll prove that. Let me give you a perfect example. Perfect in my mind. Whenever the children of Israel was in the wilderness and the snakes were biting them, what did the Lord tell Moses to do? Take a piece of brass and put it on a pole and hold it up. Now what did that brazen serpent set forth? Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Was that a picture of Christ? Yes. Was it the brazen serpent? Yes. Picture of Christ. Later, what did the children of Israel start doing to that brazen serpent? They started burning incense to it. Burning incense to it. What were they doing? They were worshiping it. What did Hezekiah do? He ground it up. What is that brazen serpent, the picture of there? Man's false worship. Idol worship. Was it the same brazen serpent? Yes. What did it set forth? It set forth Christ. It set forth man's worship of an idol. All according to New Testament revelation. So don't think that types can never have more than one meaning. This picture right here, from those words, it means a dark place. No light. And in context of this Scripture, I'm going to set forth some truths here. Now, Lot is a saved man. Let's establish this truth. He is a picture, though, in this context right here, with his two daughters. You're going to see him being a picture of how man born in Adam thinks that he can reconcile himself back to God. Lot is just before God, but the place that he and his two daughters are found is a place that man by nature loves. Where are they? They're in a cave. The definition being a hole. Dark. Dark. That's one of the... Look it up. That's the words in there. Dark. John 3:19. This is the condemnation. That light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That cave, that sets forth the darkness of man's eyes and heart and understanding, born in Adam, as he thinks that he possesses the knowledge of the things of God. Matthew 6:23, you can turn there. That cave, that dark place, that hole, that's where they are. That's where they're. Matthew 6:23, the Lord speaking here concerning men thinking they have light. Matthew 6:23, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? Where are they? Where is Lot and his two daughters? They're in a cave. They're in a hole. They're in darkness. Naked. Stripped. So here, back in Genesis chapter 19, now here they are. And something happens that is hard to imagine. Verse 31-32. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, And there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. The desire of these two daughters, now you have to understand, now where are they? They're in a cave. Sodom is destroyed. Gomorrah is destroyed. The plain is destroyed. Zoar was spared. They went to Zoar based on what Lot thought was the better of the two evils. God let him go. Then he feared to be there. His wife is a pillar of salt. Can't stay in Zoar because he fears there. He respects God. He's a believer. But as a picture, as a type, he's in this hole. And in this hole, in this cave, this dark place, his two daughters come up with this idea. Everything else is gone. Seed's got to be maintained. Now, whether or not they meant to preserve the continuance of mankind, how do they know? I don't know where Abraham is. I don't know who's left. I know there's two girls and Lot. That's all they know. Now, whether they're talking about preserving mankind, or whether they're talking about using that word seed right there, the line of whether they're talking about the Christ himself is promised to come. Abraham, you know, being a believer, taught of God. Lot was a believer. He taught of God. He knew. He believed Christ. He believed that God's going to send the Messiah. Now, what were they talking about? Well, whatever they were talking about, their thoughts, let's get our dad drunk. Let's let him drink wine. We'll lie with him. That seed may be preserved. What they were doing was nothing more than spiritual fornication. Actual and spiritual. How is that? Thinking that God needed them to accomplish His will. Their father, Lot, was the son of Abraham's brother, Haran. Now you remember this. I'm just reminding you. A brother who, like Abraham, was from the lineage of Shem. I went back and looked it up. I looked at the lineage. I found him. Found his name. The son of Noah, through whom the Messiah would come, and possibly in their mind, I'm not trying to read into their mind. I know what they said. I know they're saying that we've got to lie with our father. He's the only one. He's old. But he's all we got. And the seed be produced. Seed's going to... Only thing we can do is get him drunk. Let's get him drunk and we'll lie with him. That seed might be preserved. And if their thought was the existence of mankind, that it could only remain their way, their will, their work, their faithfulness, that's abomination against God. That's blasphemy. We read that plan and we think, how could such wickedness be considered as right, acceptable before God when it sounds so honorable? I mean, we can't let mankind know. Look what God's done. God created all this. And this thing's on the brink of extinction. We got to do something. We can't just stay right here. Mankind's got to be here, but what about the Messiah? Our daddy's in the line of the lineage. Came right down from Noah and I mean, Shem and Abraham, our dad, the preservation of the Messiah. This is the way we'll do it. As crazy, unreasonable as that sounds in our minds, to give it such a seemingly honorable end, let me ask you this. Is that not the same thing that the carnal, free-willed religionist says pertaining to man's acceptance with God, the preservation of God's seed? You know, I got to put my hand on it. Only hand's God's, God's mine. These eyes, that's all He's got. These arms, these feet, that's all He's got, you know. Men say these things speaking of God's glory, but they desire only to put their filthy hands to it. This is the only way it's going to work. It's preserved seed. This is it. We're going to have to get him drunk. Well, how are they going to do it? What did they do? Well, 33-36, they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Remember, this scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction in righteousness, reproof, correction, that we might be thoroughly furnished. This scripture was put in here by the Spirit of God. And their actions set forth, that is the thinking of this world's religion. This is the thinking of man born in Adam. Dead to the things of God, ever ready to compromise the character and glory of God to bring about their own wicked end. Whatever it takes, do it. That's what he says. Whatever it takes. These daughters did what they did by getting their father drunk. Made him drink wine that he might not perceive when they laid down with him or arose. Let's get him drunk so that he would be oblivious to what's really going on. Is that not the way of this world's religion? Men, by nature, are blind to the evil of their way. They're blind. They're blind. The Lord said that. Blind leaders of the blind. No eyes. Man, naturally speaking, under the influence of excessive drink, thinks that, and he acts disrespectfully before God and men, but likewise, the carnal man. Now, I'm telling you, this is an instruction. How do we see man as he is? I'm going to show you something in the end. I'm coming to this last part right here is going to be glorious. But I'm telling you, I've heard it said, you know, a diamond always looks best. You put it against a black felt. Look at that thing right there. Well, here's the black felt. What did they do? They came up with this idea. They're going to preserve seed of their father. How are we going to do it? Let's get him drunk. Let's just get him drunk. Let's just get him just drunk. So drunk that he doesn't know when we lay down and he don't know when we get up. Let's do it. I'll do it tonight. You do it tomorrow night. Is there anything about that that's honorable? No. Man drinks himself into oblivion, disrespectful, But likewise, the carnal man, as he drinks of the evil, the wicked lies of spiritual deception. You turn over to Revelation 18. I'm telling you where I'm going right here. You know where I was going to turn there. Revelation chapter 18. He drinks the wine, the liquor of deception. The wicked lies of this world's religion. And he stays in a drunken stupor of spiritual ignorance. His mind is not right. He's not clear. Revelation 18, verses 1 to 3. Revelation 18, 1 to 3. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Turn back to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, which because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornications. Look at Revelation 17, verse 3 to 5. Revelation 17, 3 to 5. So he carried me away in the spirit unto the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Everything that is set forth in Scripture concerning that which is evil, wicked, comes from that woman right there. False religion, Babylon, mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots, causing men, feeding men with the wine of her fornications. Remember, if you want to know what spiritual fornication is, it's when man thinks that he can put his hand to that which God Almighty alone can do, and is proclaimed that he can only do. Man says, I will. That is spiritual fornication. That's spiritual adultery. What did these girls do? We're going to have to. Let's get our daddy great. The actions of these two girls totally disregarded God's Word. It exceeded all proper and honorable bounds set forth by God concerning man replenishing the earth. Turn to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. This thought went through my mind. Genesis 1, I'm going to read verses 27, 28. I'm thinking, who spoke this world into existence? God. You think these girls are going to have to get their daddy drunk to replenish the earth? You see the fallacy, but that's no less, you know, a fallacy than false religion. Man thinking, I can put my hand to salvation. I can do this. This is what they did. Genesis 1, 27, 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. They said, well, you see there, God said, created man, woman, okay, then replenish the earth. But I'll tell you this, the replenishing of the earth was set with these bounds right here. Genesis 2, look at verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There was a bound set on replenishing the earth. How was that? Within the bond of marriage between a man and a woman. Hebrews 13:4 says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. These girls were going to preserve seed of their father. Now, did they mean natural seed? Maybe. Did they mean the spiritual seed of the Messiah? The preservation of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And what these two girls did, again in type, was set forth man's carnal attempt to preserve God's honor. The preservation of seed was set forth in the book of Genesis to be through the bond of marriage. And I will tell you this, the marriage, according to the Word of God, Paul the Apostle says, be married to his wife. And he said, I speak a great mystery. I'm speaking of Christ and his bride. Marriage. There is a covenant of God's grace according to the declaration of God's Word between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. There's the preservation of the seed. That covenant set forth. That Christ has a bride of His choosing. Marriage is that picture and by which they have life in Christ. And I want you to look at the end, though, of this. Back in Genesis chapter 19, what these girls done is it's horrible, abominable, evil, wicked. That's man by nature. That's man by nature. Genesis chapter 19, verse 37, 38. And the firstborn, verse 36 said they were both with child. And the firstborn bare a son, called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. These girls thought that they could accomplish only that which is accomplished by God. What was the fruit? Well, I can tell you this. The Moabites and the Ammonites were proven through Scripture to be the enemies of God. Enemies of God. All these girls accomplished as false religion. This is all it accomplishes. What's produced? The enemies of God. You've never had, under a false gospel, the Spirit of God has revealed, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God on salvation. Has God ever blessed a lie to the salvation of one of His own? No. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, said, God called you by our gospel. Gospel of God's grace, free grace. What did these girls, what were the children that came forth? The enemies of God. That's what. Moabites, Ammonites. But Where sin abounded, and that's all you can say about what we've read, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. From the nation that was brought forth out of one of those boys, two boys born, and God was pleased, at least that I know of, out of one of them, out of the Moabites, a nation that was, by and large, the enemy of God. Out of the Moabites, turn over to the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth, find Joshua and Judges, and right after the book of Judges, you'll find Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Out of the Moabites, there was a woman, and her name was Ruth. She was a Moabitess woman. And the scripture says that concerning this woman, Ruth, for the sake of time, I'll just tell you, you know what happened. Ruth crossed the path of a man named Boaz. Thank you, Neil. Boaz. Crossed paths with Boaz. Boaz is a picture, beautiful picture, the kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here was a woman that came from her lineage. Where did she come from? She came back from that incestuous bond, sexual bond, between Lot, one of his daughters. Cursed nation. But out of that nation, it was this woman. I want you to listen to what Scripture says. Ruth chapter 4, verse 9. After all that she went through, she gleaned in the fields of Boaz. Boaz set his eye on her, told his men, "You drop handfuls on purpose for her." Ruth chapter 4, verse 9-10. Boaz said unto the elders, "And unto all the people, your witnesses this day, that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, a woman out of the pit of God's rejection, left him. Here's one. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. And you're all witnesses today." Almighty God, in His infinite mercy, out of the fall of Adam, and from Adam's fall, you leave a man to himself, and what's he going to do? He's going to raise his ugly hand fist against God and say, "God has got to have me. It's going to be my will. It's going to be my way. I'm going to preserve seed, and I can do it." That's abomination against God. But God, who reaches down out of the dregs of humanity and takes one like Ruth and raises her up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and shows mercy, there's some hope for us. There's some hope for us. This woman was found, and I found this in the book of Luke. You go back and look at it again. I'll tell you where I got it. You go back and read it for sake of time. But this woman was found to be in the line of Christ. That woman was in the lineage of Christ. God Almighty had everlastingly loved this woman and knew her. How is she going to come into this world? Out of a cave. Out of an act that was abomination against God. You talk about the Savior of sinners. Was what they did it have any merit to it? No. No. But God. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. This woman, she was married. She married a man named Boaz. And they had a son. His name was Obed. And Obed had a son. And his name was Jesse. And he had a son. His name was David. Who had a son whose name was Solomon. And right down to the Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty. He's a just God. And He's a Savior. Almighty God who reaches down and saves sinners. I tell you what, you know, we talk about God saves sinners and we think, well, you know, I mean, they just, you know, they ran a stop sign. You know, that's bad. That's bad. No, you want to see something of sin and depravity. Spirit of God moved. If it had been left up to me, I'd probably left. Lot was related to me, I may have tried to leave that out of Scriptures. Spirit of God been pleased to show us what we are. This is what we are. You say, I'd never do that. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. You'd never catch me, you know, caught up in some incestuous. This is the way we are. This is how we all think by nature. That's how we think. I'm going to put my hand to it. It is nothing but spiritual fornication, adultery. Incestuous, spiritual incestuous acts. But God. You think God can save a sinner? Save me. I pray God bless this to our hearts. Amen. Amen.